Welcome, welcome, everyone.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi, it's good to see you. It's good to see everyone. So happy to be here with all of you today. You believe it's already been a couple of weeks since our Befriend Your Fear intensive? Let's take a moment and we're going to get centered and settled, and then we'll move in to our integration session. So if it's comfortable for you, close your eyes. If not, keep them open, but go inwards. And use these moments to arrive. Finding the support of the seat beneath you, or the ground beneath you. Coming back home to your body. Finding where in your body you're holding a lot of inner wisdom today. And don't overthink it. Just kind of scan, ask, see. Maybe it's your back, your heart, your belly, your throat. Gravitate towards the part of your body that is holding a lot of wisdom today, or one of the places. And whatever that place is, take some moments, sending the breath there. Really connecting in to that part of your body that is holding a lot of inner wisdom right now. And asking it, what would you like for me to know today? Taking a moment, thanking your body for its wisdom and for all the ways it supports. And then taking a nice deep breath in, exhaling everything out. And if your eyes aren't open, and opening them up. And coming fully into our time together. So it's great to see everyone. As I mentioned in our kickoff call, these calls are usually smaller. We usually don't have the full group. I'm always happy to have the full group. I love that. And I'm also always happy to have a smaller group. We get to be more intimate and we get to kind of, I don't know, we get to have fun in different ways. So The purpose. Oh, and I want to, before we jump in, some of you might see Inbal is here. I mentioned at our retreat, but as a reminder, Inbal is with us for the year as a participant. She wasn't able to be at the first retreat, but Inbal, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. This is the second time. Second time you're taking advanced, maybe third. I think just the second. A lot of people take it twice. Okay, so this is our first integration call. And these calls are really an opportunity for us to kind of go deeper, to check in, to see, have you been using the techniques for yourself or with clients? How has it been going? What have you been learning? If you haven't, why? You know, it's an opportunity for us to kind of get deeper into some things and for you to ask questions. I used to not have these integration sessions, but I found that they're really helpful. First and foremost, just as a reminder, in case you left the retreat and haven't done anything, it gives me another opportunity to be like, oh, no, do it, practice, do it for yourself, do it for your clients, right? That can happen. And then it's also really helpful now that we've had a couple of weeks time and space, and hopefully some of you have been experimenting with it, for us to kind of get into some more of the crags. So with all of that, I'll start us off by asking who's been, and you can put this in the chat, who's been practicing the technique or the techniques that we looked at around Befriend Your Fear, either for yourself, coming back and doing your own inner work, or with others, and who hasn't been. It's okay if you haven't been. That's why we're here. Deva had a great session with a friend. That's great. Sometimes it's great to start practicing with friends first. Lisa's been practicing for herself. Inbal hasn't yet. Okay. Veronica has been practicing a little bit with a client, with yourself. Great. Kim has practiced with someone from Sacred Depths. Good. Cynthia did an on the fly version, but it was from your memory. That's great. You know, it's even better, I think, if sometimes if you don't have that, remember we said the instructions are very loose. So it actually helps to embody it even more to not be reading. Michelle practiced with a client immediately and they had a huge breakthrough. Greg had a great session. Greg, that should be in there. I created that and gave it to my team. I'll double check, but it was like over a week ago. And I wonder if it's like a refresh thing in the member center, but I'll double check on that because it should be there. Just making a note. All right, so I'd love to hear some voice-to-voice shares. If you've been practicing with clients, friends, or on yourself, either celebrations, share with us. If it was a great session, share with us what went really well, what you noticed, regardless of if it was great or not. I'd love to hear, let's get into what you've been doing and what's been working and what hasn't been and what's been resonating, what you've been noticing. Greg.
I notice, one of the things is you, I can't remember the wording, but you talk about how flexible this thing is. But in my mind, before I go to do it, it's like this rigid set of things. And so I have this anxiety in me of like, am I going to do it right? And even though every time I've done it, the client that I've done it with has, I mean, they don't know the steps and they've gotten huge benefit out of it. But for me, I notice so much anxiety before I go to do it of, am I going to do it right? And sometimes it keeps me from doing it like, what are the steps? I don't know. But I when I am doing it, I do find that it goes well. And I feel like I definitely feel, sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm not sure where to go. And as much as possible, I try and let go of that. I'm always shocked at the end when people are like, oh, that was so great.
Yeah, great. Okay, so there's a bunch of things in here. So first of all, I just want to celebrate that when you have done it, sounds like it's gone really, really well. There's been so much value. Clients have received so much. Yeah. So yay on that, right? Yay on those specific situations, and yay on you having such a strong foundation as a practitioner, and enough with this technique that you can lead folks. And even if there's a little bit of worry or anxiety on your part, you know, that things are going really well and that you can recognize that. To me, that's a really good sign that you can recognize that it's going well. Like, we can call that a celebration too. Sometimes we do really good work, but we just think it sucked, right? So that's great. And then there are two pieces that I think that would be helpful for you and for all of us to look at. So number one, this piece you said, this anxiety of, am I going to do it the right way? And tell me if I'm getting this right. I think from what I know of you, that feeling is not unique just to this. Yeah. So what have you learned? What is some learning around that dynamic for you that you could apply in those moments?
It's funny, as I'm about to say this, there's two particular pieces I want to pull on, and the thought in my head is, I don't know if I'm going to say this right.
So meta, right?
But one piece.
Wait, let's pause there. Sure. Can feel what it feels like to hold, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this right, and that lightheartedness that you just had. See if you can, what that feels like in your body to hold both of those things at the same time. Not sure it's going to be right. And I can also kind of chuckle about it. Can you feel that?
Yeah, feels good anxiety producing and makes me want to cry.
I'll take it. Good anxiety. And what does it feel like to hold both, to be aware of both?
Well, this is the good and the makes me want to cry piece, is that it feels like, hey, I've got this. You can do it. You're good at this. And that feels scary to give myself that permission.
Yeah. So I love that you're giving yourself that permission. And can we agree it's okay that it's a little scary? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. I interrupted you. What were you going to say? You weren't sure if you were going to say it right.
I think that's part of it. One piece is, I feel even judgment saying this, but like, there is no right way. I have a framework, and this is what I do with everything that I learn. I want to have a solid framework, and I know I'm going to make it my own.
That's right.
So, realizing or holding that I am good at that. I've done that in so many different things, and it's more about what's right for the client in this moment rather than what's right.
Yes. I just got chills when you said that. Let's pause on that. That's a writer downer for everyone. It's about what's right for the client in this moment versus what's right. Yeah. Can you feel that, the truth of that inside of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I want to invite you to come back to in those moments, right? Where you start to get anxious.
Yep.
That, and also that permission that you were feeling a few minutes ago, like, I get to do this, right? Might be scary, but I'm giving myself permission to do this.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It feels good. Like there's the I would say it's like what you say about the difference between transformation and breakthrough. It's really installing this into my body over and over and over.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Great. You mentioned another piece. Oh, I think this is important for everyone. What do I do in the moments that I don't know what to do next, right? I don't know. I'm not sure where to go or where to take this. So I'm going to ask you, and also going to ask everyone else to share in the chat. I'm going to ask you, Greg, voice to voice. What do you do in those moments when you're like, I'm not sure what's next?
I noticed that my draw was always to check on the sheets. And sometimes I did do that, but mostly it was a process of letting go of that and just refocusing on, okay, what did the client just share with me now? What from my tools and techniques, whether it's right or not, can I use to support them in this moment?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Which is the same whether we're in a somatic technique or just having a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. What did the client, using our listening skills, what did the client just say? What's important? What do I sense is important from that? And then use my skills, right? Which could be anything, but you know, mostly what question next based on what I just heard can I ask? And if we're not sure, this is one of the beautiful things about the technique. So if we're not sure what to ask next, then all we need to do is ask the client to connect more deeply with the part of their body they were connecting with and ask them, what more does it want them to know about its highest wisdom, right? Or if there was a piece of wisdom that just came through, anchor that in, have them feel it more deeply, and then ask, is there anything more? So.
Yeah, and I'll say one thing with the whole thing, not that piece specifically, but is that, you know, I notice for me, even though whether it's with my coaching clients or like I've taught people how to instruct kayaking for 30 years, you know, when I'm teaching coaches, I tell them, don't be afraid to get it wrong. Don't be afraid to not only make a mistake, but even to call that out to your students, both so that they know that you're not perfect and so that it can be a teaching opportunity. And so it's embodying that in myself of like the fear of what if I ask the wrong question, or a question that doesn't land, and like, that's okay. Then that's information too. That's all good. And so like really owning that myself.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes to all of that. We're not a mark of a good practitioner is that we're sometimes asking questions that don't land, because that means that we aren't just kind of playing it safe, right? And we are a little bit on the ledge.
Yeah, I like that framework.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Deva.
Hi. I can relate to a lot of this that Greg shared. I was visiting a friend in Oregon that I've known a long time, and she's really sharp, really quick, and she's been married for 20 years and has a 15-year-old son, and they kind of, I feel like every time I see her, there's some type of disruption in the family, and they're, you know, always like, I can't do this anymore. I'm leaving my husband, and you know, and in the past, I've always gotten really triggered, and so much so that I've become known as their love and light friend, and that I can't handle any serious or uncomfortable energy. And so they were having a pretty big blow up, and you know, she came in, she was like, you know, I just want you to know what's going on in the house. Like, my son just told me to fuck off. Taylor defended him, and they're always ganging up on me, and blah, blah, you know. And I kind of just witnessed it, and I was like, wait a minute, I have tools, and maybe I can go in. And I said, you know, if you want, we can do a session. I've been, you know, practicing Befriend Your Fear, and we just ended up diving in, and I didn't have my notes, so like, I can relate to Greg. Like, I was like, here, I'm doing this on the fly. And we just sat down, and I was really able to listen to her and hear and ask, you know, when was the first time you felt that, and getting to the sphere of, in this whole story of, I'm not good enough. And then asking, well, who else in your immediate family do you think might be also feeling this? And kind of working with like the law of entrainment, that if you're carrying that, then you're projecting. And she was like, oh my God. And and it was like a light bulb went off, because I've heard these same stories for so, so long. But I think the way that I was able to listen and, you know, really hold space for her. And she was like, and, you know, then later told her husband, like, you know, David just revealed this piece of information that I think is really important for our whole family. And so I'm happy to be on this call, because it's reminding me I need to do a follow-up with her. And we had wanted to, I was like, oh, I want to get the sheet and go deeper with it. But then we just didn't have the time to do that. But I do have a question about practicing with friends like that, and then not drawing sides, because then, you know, her husband ended up taking me aside and being like, Dave, I just can't do this. She's, you know, there's so many good things about her, but her energy is so toxic. And I was like, okay, how do I not get in the middle and like love on both of them and be supportive, to be a mirror? Because I've seen so much, and they're really kind of on the brink of getting a divorce. And yet they've done a ton of therapy and nothing's really gotten through. So I'm curious, Joanna, like, where can you, I don't like, where, what is appropriate? And yeah, I mean, this definitely isn't couples therapy, but I was like, you know, I could sit down with both of them and say, hey, I'm, you know, just, I love you guys so much. How could this help? I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question. First, I just want to celebrate that you did the process. And I, like, so many celebrations in what you shared, Deva. For me, and tell me if you agree with this, one of the biggest ones is that you didn't get all love and light. There's something about doing this work that I'm feeling is helping you increase your capacity to hold space for discomfort and be regulated with discomfort. And that's where we want to go, like, as humans and as practitioners. So it's just huge.
Yeah.
Really, really nicely done.
I got full body shivers, and we didn't go into her process, but the next day we sat, and, you know, she's very much like, whoa, she'll be in my face. And I'm just like, oh my God, I can't, you know, like, so much so that I don't want to visit, or I'm like, okay, I have to really brace myself, even though I love her, but she's so intense. And we had a huge breakthrough in our friendship as well. And she's like, this is the first time that you've ever stood in discomfort and felt that tremor of being really uncomfortable and just stayed and didn't disassociate. And she recognized it. And she's like, I love seeing this in you. And I'm like, well, I have tools that I've never had before that I can stay. And I don't like it. I do prefer love and light, but if this is where we need to go, I'm not, I was able to be, and like you said, not get dysregulated, where I know in the past I would have just been like, she's way too much, I can't handle it.
It's huge leaps forward, so exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, friend stuff. So friend stuff is, in my mind, is there a lot of things that are similar to clients, and then there are a lot of things that are different because the relationship is different. And now you've got a couple, right? So I can't tell you do this, 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 or this, but I can more kind of give you some questions to be considering, and then some thoughts with it. So the first is, and this is really a question not for you to answer now, but for you to consider, what is the role that you want to play in your friendship for each of them separately and for them together, right? So that's one question, because you don't have to, just because you have the tools doesn't mean you have to be that person, right? So for you to really think about, what is it that you're wanting in the relationship? And then if from that consideration, you do want to, then the next question is, what do they want, right? Do they want you to be in that capacity? Or to support in that particular way in their relationship, right? And then from there, if that's a yes, then what's really important next is similar to what's really important in all of our client relationships before we work together, which is setting the container. What are the agreements? Right.
Yeah.
It's like on the sly, if somebody wants to do a befriend your fear, if it comes up, you're like, I have this great tool. Do you want to do it? You don't need to set all the things, right? But if you're going to kind of do it in a not official capacity, but okay, we're doing this and it's the two of them, then you need agreements, right? And it's agreements that are, some are similar to if you were to work one-on-one with a client, like confidentiality. I always, if I'm ever going to work with a friend, I'm going to talk about that we wear different hats, right? And that I wear my hat as friend, and also that I'm holding space in this particular way. And I remind them that there's no hierarchy there, and that I get things wrong sometimes, all of that. And then when it's two people, whether it's two friends or you're working with two clients together at the same time that have a relationship, then it's also, what are the agreements there, right? About not favoring one over the other, about, what are agreements around how they're going to share and when they're going to share, and, any of that, right? So you want to kind of think through those pieces from start to finish, so that there can be, if it turns out it's aligned for everyone, that there is a container that feels safe and solid for everybody. Is that helpful?
That's really helpful. Yeah. And it was even just hearing this, because one of the other reasons is that this friend is, she asked to be my assistant at my workshop at Esalen in September. And I was like, I need to really go and spend some time with her before we're in a group holding space for, 20 to 30 people. And then particularly, potentially having another assistant. If I have over 20 people, I get to have two. And so I think even looking at this for the three of us before going into the group to set a container, because they're both like my most alpha, like powerhouse women that I love and that I'm the most like, oh my God, they're so brilliant and so strong. And I was telling her, like, my fear is that she's going to overpower me, and that normally she's in the leadership role. And I'm like, you're going to have to be, you know, my assistant, and I want you to be really, or to be really clear. But this is helpful of like, I need to set that really strong, the agreements of how we're going to support each other. So
yeah,
good on so many levels.
Yeah, I agree. Yay, such good stuff. Lisa.
Oh, thank you, Greg and Deva. And I'm going to follow on a little bit from Greg, because I've had some things that have worked and some things that haven't worked. So I've been experimenting, which is good. I had a one-to-one with somebody and I was all geared up for doing Befriend Your Fear and somatic process, and she wasn't. She didn't want to do it. And I'm like, so following on from what Greg said, it was like, and I could feel myself in the moment just slightly disappointed, but obviously wanting to go with where the client wanted to go. So we went back to more conversational style because she was so clear. She tried it before and it wasn't for her. And I'm like, totally get it. So that was interesting. It's interesting when it goes wrong and it's still okay. That's what I feel I learned from it. It went, from my opinion, that went badly wrong. It didn't fulfill my expectations at all. And there I am, totally humbled, because you know, I have to be flexible, you know, to be able to do it in another way when it doesn't work out.
Yeah. So, okay, this is great. A couple pieces. So first, I just offer a little bit of different language. From what you shared, I wouldn't say that anything went wrong, no, right? it maybe didn't go according to what your plan was.
Yeah.
But I want to remind you and remind everyone, similar to what Greg was saying before, when you ask a question and it doesn't land, that doesn't mean that, not only does it not mean that something bad happened, it also doesn't mean that it wasn't wasted time. Yeah. There is something that is still important about making an offering to a client, whether it's, would you like to do this process, or asking a question. And the empowerment in that safe container for the client to say, you know what, that didn't land for me, or you know what, I don't want to do that, right? Just to have those opportunities are valuable.
Yeah.
So that's number one, right? And you got to learn a little bit more about this client too for moving forward, right? So my perspective, nothing wrong. And then the other thing that I just wanted to kind of share with you and everyone is that I know after we learn these techniques, it's like, where can I use, you know, like looking for the place, which is great, but we want to find this kind of a balanced place of I really want to use, but not being attached to outcome, like, and not having a plan, right? So this balanced place of, I'd really like to use this technique. And also I'm not planning on using this technique, right? But going in and listening and then seeing if it's the right time for that client.
Yeah. And I did it with a group, and that one I had total permission because it was set up to work with mindset. And we did the not good enough one, but then we linked it to the inner critic. And then somebody else said, oh, that links with imposter syndrome. So everybody's sort of seeing it in their own way. And they got loads out of that. And I wanted to share something from that was so funny. So I've decided, and I shared this with a little group on Advance somewhere or other, and somebody liked it. So I'm going to share this with everybody. It's easier to do it with a group than it is to do it one-to-one. And that messes most people's thinking up because they think it's easier to do it one-to-one. But I'm going to say, no, it's easier to do it with a group, everyone. Just to be meddlesome.
I like that you're being meddlesome. I have a feeling as you practice the one-on-one, you're gonna feel like they're both great and even easy to do. But I love that it went so well with the group. It sounds like it was a little of a combo of the befriend your fear and what we looked at embody with the rewiring and the not good enough. And so beautiful, beautiful.
I really liked it. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm still working with my one-to-one stuff with myself, and I can work with myself. So that's good.
Yeah. Good. Great. Such good stuff. Great, everyone. Kim.
I'm learning so much from all these shares. This is really valuable. When I was doing my session with the person, going back to what Greg said, I always have an oh shit moment, like, oh, what am I going to do? But I just kind of, you just got to keep going. Mm-hmm. I took a IFS class recently. It was an 8-week class, and I found it very confusing, and I felt like I was doing the kind of parts work that you've talked about pretty well. And then I took that class and I was like, oh my God, this makes me feel like what I was doing before, I'm not good enough to do that anymore. And I don't understand this IFS. And during the session, some parts came up and I just like, forget that IFS stuff. I need to do, you know, what I feel comfortable with and what works for me, and what intuitively works for me. And she brought up a part that was, you know, like a taskmaster and rigid. And then I had her bring in a compassionate part, and those two dialogued with each other. And sometimes I judge myself harshly, but she came back, speaking of compassionate part, she gave me feedback that was like so super helpful for her to have that compassionate part come in. So it ended up going really well. And I just, sometimes when like the IFS class was like, the more you learn, the less you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Felt like that. But I found it's really good to just ground in to be like, okay, I can go with what I need to go with.
That's right. It feels like another underscoring of what Greg was sharing earlier, is like, what is right for the client in this moment? And I don't know that much about IFS, you know, like a little bit of it, but you know, whether it's IFS or something else, like I love it when there's different rules and there's this kinds of things and those kinds of things. And I think it gives us a lot of knowledge. And then when we are in real time with our clients, it's about showing up fully present, seeing what the need is. And then if everybody remembers all the way back to our very first Sacred Depths call, one of the many things that we look at on that call is that one of the ingredients to a really powerful coaching relationship is actually co-creativity, coming together to create together. And that's when it's like, then all of the schema, hopefully it's in the back of our mind and it helps gives us wisdom and all the things, but like, then it's like, what is here and how can we create together the what is going to be helpful for the client? And it sounds like you did that really beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we're not able to be present if we're stuck in like, what's the next step or what's that?
Yeah, exactly. And I want everyone to I want to invite everybody to be in a spirit of experimentation too, right? We're working with the taskmaster. Oh, what other part can help counteract this and support this one? The client brings, right? I don't know if you brought in the compassionate one or the client said compassion, and right, but use, be experimental as well with it. You know the foundations, and you have also all this, I know, because you've been in sacred depths, you have all the skills you need to hold a tight container, to be trauma informed, to ask good questions, to listen well. So such great stuff, everybody. Who else? Let's see. I saw some things in the chat. So Jessica is asking how to bring it up. I'd love to hear whether people do it more directly or organically. So I'll share some things on that, but I'd love to hear some shares from others. How have you been bringing it up in your sessions? How have you been inviting clients into the process? Who wants to share? You can either just take yourself off mute or raise your hand. How have you been introducing this? Kelly.
So I've mostly been thinking about this in terms of this upcoming retreat that I'm leading, that this is a planned piece of it. So I've been thinking about it in relationship to the room and the group of people that I'll be presenting it live to. But in terms of, so I do have questions on that, but in terms of how I've been doing it with clients, I both have said in different moments, like somebody else said in the chat, both said, hey, there's this process we could do, sort of depending at the location of where the thing comes up in the session. So when, if it's towards the end of the session, I say, you know, there's a process we could do that I think would be really helpful. Let's plan on doing that. And I put it in my notes for the next session. And just because I don't want to have to rush it for them. And then there have been moments when it happens earlier, and I'll just say, I mean, it's, you know, people are used to me doing shamanic processes as well. So it's kind of like, hey, would you be willing to kind of dive into the energetics around this and look at what's there and do this process? And so I just kind of guide them through. And people just, I don't know. I feel like the more I do this, the more simple my work becomes. And it's almost more like granular, and something happens where it's like you do these teeny tiny things and it's this big lever, and it just really makes a big shift. And I just find that so it's stunning. It's just so fun to witness and be part of in the co-creative experience, right?
Yes. Yeah. Beautifully said. I so agree. It is. It becomes simpler and more granular. I love how you said that. And yeah, you know, so one thing that Kelly is offering is to say, I have this process that I think could be really helpful that would allow us to go deeper with this. Would you be interested in doing that? If you have time in the session, then great. Or, you know, would you be interested in doing this in our next session? Good.
Can I say one more thing about that? One thing too that I have done is if it happens at the end of the session and I say, hey, would you be interested in exploring this a little more deeply when we meet next? And inevitably it's a yes. I've never had anyone say no. but then I also, especially if I'm hearing like the voice of fear, the voice of resistance, or different voices popping up, I'll give them homework to pay attention to the voices and like really give them space. And because I do altar work as well, I'll be like, hey, you know, really let yourself be listening for what they're speaking to you. And maybe, you know, if one's popping up more, like go ahead and put her on the altar, like make an object for her, put her on the altar and, or put her on the earth and like sit with her there and give her a space to sit and be listened to. So that's another thing that I have found helpful.
Yes, I'm so glad you're that. I was going to say homework next, and I'm so glad you're saying that. Yes, right. So, as a reminder for everyone, one way of supporting a client to befriend their fear is for them to track it, just to track it throughout the week, right? Or in between sessions, to notice, oh, it's up now, right? Just that alone is going to create more space from it, is going to support the client to be in a place where they can observe it, where they're not enmeshed with it. It's going to help them learn more about it. They're going to have more choices in the moment. It's a great setup for then, it's a great, if you already did the actual somatic process, and it's a great setup for it. And then Kelly, I love what you just shared about putting something on the altar for it. It's so beautiful because kind of part and parcel of that invitation is this is something to be loved and not rejected. You know, this is something to have compassion for. This is like, we're offering it up to spirit, right? For teaching and learning and all the things. So I love that. And for clients that work with altars, such a beautiful homework to have. Thank you. Inbal, is your hand raised in response to this that we're talking about right now, how to bring it up, or is it a separate thing? Go ahead.
I just love like the simple, wanted to bring forward the simple question of, are you interested in going deeper? Are you willing to go deeper? And just how that in its simplicity can create permission and consent and buy-in for the process. And what I wanted to share around that and related to what has also been shared in the chat is that I've realized like over the years how much I can overthink the process or the amount of time it'll take, especially because I have some time anxiety. And so I feel like if I have, yeah, like 20 to 25 minutes, or if it's something that's already like I've become aware of, you know, a place that we could look at, then go for it. And also, because there's a piece around, yeah, like being, you know, like trusting that I'm prepared with what I remember, or having, you know, a sheet if I want it. And also that it's not like I can only do it one time. Like we could even return to it in the next session, but there is a kind of like, oh, if I do it now and it's not this complete, you know, perfect, exhaustive process, then I can't do it again. And so just noticing some of those anxieties that have stopped me from doing it before when it might have been possible.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing this up. So, and it's so true. And actually, it's not even like, can I do it again? It's actually, we should do it again, right? Back to the moving from a breakthrough to a transformation. So yes, it doesn't have to be fully exhaustive. There can be those breakthroughs and so starting to support the nervous system with the fear, if it's not exhaustive, and starting to get next pieces of information. And then we do always want to give homework afterwards for that persistent and consistent moving the breakthrough through to the transformation. And then we do want to pick it up again, even if it's not the next session, we want to pick it back up again. And what I also want to remind everybody about this is that the repetitive nature of like working with a particular fear, we are not necessarily looking for new wisdom to come through each time. Okay, we don't want to be shiny object chasers in this work. I mean, new wisdom is also always great. It's like sexy and yay and all the things, right? Wonderful. However, as a reminder for everyone, what we're doing here is we're rewiring neural pathways and energetic pathways. And so when the fear from its higher wisdom says the same thing that it said before, or you journal the same thing that came through in the somatic process, in my book, that is actually even more powerful than the next new thing coming up. Because we're now embodying more deeply the higher, the new truths, the new information, the deeper regulation that's coming forward with the fear. That makes sense? Okay, great. Jessica, the other thing I wanted to throw out there on your question for you and for everyone is if you work, so a lot of how you introduce it is about who your client is, right? And so I feel pretty lucky because I generally work with people that are practitioners and they like want somatic work and they're into it and they know what it is already and, you know, all the things, right? But that being said, if you're working with someone who hasn't done a somatic process before or doesn't even like, this is going to be so weird to them because they never would have ever expected anything but conversation. And maybe they wouldn't have ever even expected deeper, regular conversation about fear, right? So with those folks, it can really be helpful sometimes first to educate them a bit, right? And the amount that you choose to educate before asking them if they want to do it, you know, it'll vary person to person, but you might even want to, without doing a whole Megillah, you might even want to start back to the beginning of like, you know, explain your perspective on fear. You know, oftentimes we're taught to run away from fear and just to fight it or pretend like it's not there or that it's a bad thing. But what I've really learned from experience is that fear is there to help us, right? So much of what we learned at our retreat, you don't have to give them every little last detail, whatever's going to be helpful for that person to even just acclimate them to want to engage in a different kind of way with the fear, right? And then if they need a little bit of education around, you know, and I've found it really helpful because we also feel fear in our body, not just in our minds, to engage with fear in this new way and make friends with it in this new way through the body as well as the mind, right? Is that something that you'd be interested in doing together? So sometimes we do need to kind of connect some dots for folks. It's a way of creating awareness and then seeing if they want to proceed.
Yeah, you know, that's very helpful. And what this just occurred to me, and I hadn't really thought about before, but the client that I was thinking about doing it with, I just remembered that I did do sort of a little version of it with her a while ago. And she's someone I've worked with for a long time. And I remember when I did it the first time, I think there's a question about like when you sort of have, there's some question, I'm forgetting it because I still have to finish the recordings to review them. But there's some question about, does this remind you of anything that happened to you a long time ago? So I remember that when I asked her that question, she was kind of like, whoa, yes, but I can't go there. That's something I reserve for therapy. And, you know, at the time I said, thank you very much for sharing that. Totally, you don't need to go there here. And, you know, we sort of moved on to, so in general, when I've worked with her, we've gone into feelings, but we tend to keep it very much in the present moment, like what are you feeling now, what does that say, you know, as opposed to trying to go back to the past, because I got a very clear sense from her that it was sort of a let's steer clear of that zone, and that there probably was some trauma that we haven't talked about.
Yes, so I'm glad you're bringing this up. With this, this is in the recordings, but it's always good to like to mention again, our scope of what we're learning here is about resourcing from the present, right? So we are never, and I want to be clear on this, not just for you, but for everyone, it's just, I can't underline this enough. We might ask the question, what series of events, what event or series of events brought this into being, that is about creating awareness about a connection. But what we don't ever want to do is bring a client back to what did that feel like. In, I can't remember if it's our next retreat or the one after, I am going to teach you all a really powerful memory reconsolidation technique where we lightly ask that question, but you'll see even that is not about the then and there. It's about resourcing from the here and now. So we always, always, always want to remember that this work is about resourcing from the here and now and applying the resources and the higher wisdom and the ability to regulate in the here and now to like to those fears that did become engendered in the then and there. So all that being said, the process still works exactly the way it needs to if you don't ask that question, right? So you don't, you absolutely don't have to. If it is a client that it is going to be okay with them to make that cognitive connect, just connection to where did this come from? Because the cognitive connection also then helps separate even a step further the then and there from the here and now. Oh, wait, this may not actually be a threat in the present. This is something from the past that I'm thinking is a threat in the present. So you can throw it out. If it's a client that it's, you can ask that with, ask that with. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Yeah. That's very helpful.
Awesome. Great. Inbal.
I just have a clarification. To what you shared in response to what I shared a few moments ago, where you were saying that it's actually like good to go back to a fear and that it can be even more powerful if the same thing comes up. And I didn't get it.
So let's say the higher wisdom is the same from the last time you did it. I don't know, maybe the higher wisdom is, it's okay if not everybody loves me, the people that I'm meant to work with are the only ones that need to. I don't know, I'm just making it up, but let's say it's that's right. Very similar to what came up last time. That is great because that is another ski, you know, I always think of the neural pathways as a skier kind of going down like the grooves, right? So it's like another ski run down to deepen and strengthen that neural pathway even more, right? And then if they're feeling, you're asking them to feel again, even if the last time you see it, what is that truth feel like in your body, right? It might feel a little different than the last time, but even if it feels exactly the same, we're strengthening that body memory, right? So, and that's ultimately the work that's gonna move people towards the tipping point of being able to move forward with the fears coming up. Not to mention, without getting too scientific, what's the statement that they always say, like the thoughts that fire together, wire together. So it's going to probably be like a slightly different situation that you work with them the next time on the befriend the fear. Like it was, that was that talk. And now this is this talk that they're having a fear on. So it's like, then we get to bring more of those different connected neural pathways along with this, of this like regulation and this wisdom. I hope that made sense.
What I'm totally saying. I think my confusion is that it's like that the same fear was coming up versus the same higher wisdom. That was the disconnect. Thank you.
Deva.
I thought that same thing, like we're deepening into the fear rather than the higher wisdom. So thanks, Inbal, for the question. I love the science, Joanna. I wonder if you have a book that you recommend to go deeper into that aspect of it, or if it's more like a series of articles.
Yeah, it's like wisdom that I've picked up over the years. I don't have a book. I bet you somebody here might. If you do, put it in the chat. I'll also look to see if there's something I can find that has, I don't know, sometimes you have to read through a whole book, you get like the one thing. So nothing is coming to mind for me where all of these pieces are in one place. It's really things that I've pulled from so many different places, but let me think a little bit on that. And if anybody has a suggestion, please put it in the chat.
Awesome. I had one other question real quick too about just kind of hitting on what Kelly was saying about bringing this into a group field and like how, what if some people are like really, okay, yeah, I'm willing to go deeper with it and some aren't, like how do you?
Yeah, so it's always, everybody has their own agency, just like in one-on-one in a group, right? So, you know, it's important, you know, this goes back to some group work pieces that aren't even directly related to this technique. From the get-go, when you set a container with a group, it's important for them to understand that they, every person in the group to understand that they have full agency in the container and that things are by invitation only, and that at any point, anyone can choose to not do an exercise that they don't want to do. This is one of the things I teach when I'm training on how to lead groups. That is, it's so important, right? So you want that baked just into the container in general. And then if it makes sense for particular processes or exercises, you can repeat that too. This is by invitation only. If for whatever reason you don't feel comfortable, now if it's a situation where you're going to take a break first and you're like, if you don't feel comfortable, you know, let's talk, let's see, right? So you can either ask people to connect in with you to discuss it before you go do it, or you can give an adjustment too. You know, instead journal on each of the questions that I ask. Or, you know, whatever the adjustment is. Sometimes also, and this is important to know for one-on-one, but also groups, you want to, before you introduce an exercise, if you know your group is prone to some resistance, speak to it, right? Speak to the resistance. I don't do this next thing often, but every now and again, if I'm gonna lead a group through something really, really deep, usually I wouldn't do this with Befriend Your Fear, but just since we're talking about groups, I'll give you guys just a couple pointers here. Every now and again, if it's like, I know it's gonna, like it has the power to bring up a lot, I might put in there, say, this might not be the day for everybody to do this today, right? And I might say, like, if you're like very, you know, like feeling anxious already, or if you're feeling tired, whatever it is, I might say, you know, I just want to remind you, it's your choice, right? And I almost always say, go as deep as what is right for you, right? Go as deep as what is right for you. And sometimes I might, if it's something that goes, you know, I know can sometimes go very deep, I might, along with that, also say, if you notice that you start shaking, for example, just pop right out of it, right? And, you know, slap your legs or focus on something in the room. Now, I rarely do this for a group, Befriend Your Fear, but I'm just sharing some of these pieces with all of you in case this is helpful, because I know some of you are doing groups. And just as a aside, I'll share with this at some point, and by no means it's not a like come a sell thing, but just so you know, I am in the autumn going to be doing a training on online, how to lead online groups, where we go through so many of these pieces. Anyway, does that, hopefully that is helpful. Yeah.
Super helpful. Thanks.
You're welcome. Michelle.
Hi, I have a question and also a comment, but it's not no longer in the realm of the first original question that you, so I didn't know if it's okay to ask now or if we're still in the...
No, we're...
Moved on, or in the... So I have had, I've played with this three times with three different clients, so I feel like I have a little more of a reference point. And what was really cool in my breakthrough client, I feel like that was, this was like in my coaching work. I mean, I've had like little breakthroughs, but this felt like something so major because to such a major breakthrough. And with a guy, with Ivan, who I've been working with a long time. And it was just such a beautiful, like just so beautiful and tender, and the vulnerability he came with, and that I really felt him, like in this particular call we really met each other heart to heart, and I just held the space for him, and I could experience, I feel like now with, I have a more of a reference point of, oh yes, this was a shift, and one from like creating the neural pathway, like I know we did something. And mm-hmm. So I really want to be able to support that the next time I see him. And I probably shouldn't have said his name, but you all don't know him. Peter's his name. Anyway, what was interesting, and I went in with no expectation, not even that I was going to do. And I really, it came around the his fear of success. And when he was sharing, actually, things that actually happened that were successes, he was smiling and just really owning that. And I noticed that. And then I asked him to the body memory. And what was interesting, he didn't go to that place. He went to the place of not feeling his success. And it was, and also just want to say, I did not at all guide him into any fear. It was, we were not in that place, but it was so magical what happened in that moment. Cause I was like, oh, he just interpreted that, how he interpreted that. So I'm just going with it. And it was a beautiful moment because it was such a healing moment. He connected dots. We were able to kind of track it to trauma around his relationship with his mom and blah, 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 that space. So felt like we found that wormhole, and we talked about, you know, then and there, here and now, and how maybe not just in this exact moment now, but we can do more work on healing those aspects and to bring them into the here and now. And so he was open to that. But anyway, we connected a lot of dots, and it was really profound. And so now I want to just support him. And I know the next time I see him, we may or may not be in this space. And I'll just, when the opportunity comes, I just want to have some resource so I can help him move from the break to support the transformation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So
it was enough. I kind of like going on.
Yeah. No. I got it. It was great. So first of all, it sounds like it was such a powerful session. Yay. As a reminder, I mean, a lot of clients aren't going to want to do homework. It's just, it is what it is. But I always, after I do this, any of these kinds of techniques or rewiring, I do kind of at least like to suggest and toss and see if there's some kind of homework that they can do, you know, that they'd be willing to do on their own. Again, for, you know, all the reasons that we're talking about. So that's something that you might also just want to do retroactively if you send a check-in email to see how, you know, things have been resonating since your last session. And you can say, like, if you're open and willing to continue to embody might not be a word that resonates with him, but, you know, whatever the work that, you know, we did together, and give him one thing that you think would be helpful for him, whether it's journaling on the new piece of wisdom that came through, or going on a walk a couple times a week with that feeling, that new feeling in the body, or whatever it is. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't mean to interrupt you, but for what everything you're mentioning, I totally, yes, yes, yes. For this particular person, he comes with so much, he won't do that. It will be too much work. And so just the fact that we got to where we got was like a huge thing. And I even called it, like I said, it's like a soul retrieval. Like I felt like it was in the bot through his body. He found his soul. It was so beautiful. So, So it's a very complex layered session. So And I know I can tell I'm always hold the space for he will surprise me, be like, oh yeah, but I know he has trouble with execution. So that's the other piece. So
he's not the only one. I get it. So
A check-in, I'm just like, hey, thinking of you, what's coming through since the session, like maybe something where he can, talk, or he could tell me, or.
Yes. Yes. So a check-in. And then here's a tip for you and for everyone, for clients that don't follow through on things. There's a couple of sneaky things you can do. So one is, if you have your clients fill out a pre-call form before sessions, you can slip a question in about it after you have a session, right? So then maybe for the next X amount of months, one of the questions they answer in the pre-call form is, come back to that inner wisdom around you being successful. And either just invite them to like feel it, or just what did you notice about your being successful over your feeling successful since we last met, right? What's been resonating about that kind of thing. So that's one little trick, is to slip it into the pre-call form. And then another little trick is, if you ever do opening just groundings or meditation with a client before going into the session, you can slip it into that grounding too, right? So as they're kind of coming in and grounding, last time we really looked at this feeling of feeling successful, even if you haven't thought about it at all since then, find where in your body you believe this truth that you are successful, or, you know, whatever the words are from it, right? And it's just this, you don't have to discuss it afterwards or anything, but it's just this little slipping in of the repetition and the neural grooving, the neural pathways and the energetic pathways.
Thank you.
Is that helpful? And then, I mean, if it comes up again, you can go back to that technique. You have other techniques. We're going to be learning others as well as we go along.
And just as you're listing them, I was starting to think about, I can be very fluid. Like, even though for other clients of mine, that would work, like some of the prep work, I think in the moment I even just point blank ask him, like just bring it up. And have a conversation like in that way too. And, and also like what you're just reminding me, because it would be like the neural grooves to say, you know, you had a amazing neural pathway, blah, blah, blah. Like explain it in a little more scientific, because he likes systems. Oh. And like and then we can support the neural grooving. So I like that. So it kind of can. So thank you. There's just giving messages and ideas. Cause I will just say, I see him. We see each other weekly. I know a lot of people don't, that's not always how. So I feel like because of the weekly week, I want to be able to
read that together. Yeah. You can do it together over time. Yeah.
And we'll it doesn't
take a whole session or even more than 5 minutes of the session either, but maybe, and you can also get his agreement on this, like maybe for the next 2 months, you spend the first 5 minutes of each session.
Thank you. That's helpful. because I feel like it's my job, my like heart duty to really hold this space for him to say, I don't want to just ignore it. Something huge happened. And maybe too, when I express it that way, like, I feel like I need to even like you, and I can just be like 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be like this deep thing. So, and that will support the consistency and over time and for the transformation. Cause that's where I feel like we're getting somewhere, but I really want to, I feel like this, our conversation just now gave me a lot of good info on the, how to support the transformation process. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Great question. Kelly.
Yeah, I wanted first, I just loved what both you and Michelle were just talking about. That was so helpful and thoughtful. And my question is following back up on the group piece. And I just wondered if it's okay just to speak like specifically to this group and sort of what I'm thinking about it and wondering about sharing this process there. And it's a group, they think it's going to be probably 150 people. And it's basically around self-care and connection and resilience building. So I'll be talking about the nervous system and leading them through lots of different techniques. And then talking about, you know, multiple things related to the Befriend Your Fear. So some of the science pieces, because they need to nerd out on the science pieces to make sure they feel safe to do the experiential. So with that, and just listening to all the different shares and also recognizing the beauty and capacity of this process, but also some of the vulnerability that's involved. I have all the safety rules right at the beginning and what have you, but I love bringing it back to this. But I'm wondering if there's a bit of, I'm wondering if you would recommend almost diluting it and being more prescriptive in this process rather than letting them guide themselves as deeply. Just wondering about that. And actually, and because the topic is specifically, how do I make space for self-care and recognizing y'all have resistance with this? I know you, I know this team. And the director herself, the one who's like hiring me to do this is like, why can't I do it? I'm like, well, let's address it because everybody has the same stuff. But yeah, so I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I'm glad you're asking. Let me just ask a question. So this is not your group. This is somebody else's group. You said it was 150 people. Will you have opportunity to really set a strong container with them? Okay. Yep. I just want to,
I mean, I've got basically 4 hours that include a meal, and I'm guiding the whole process. And I have I have like two of my slides. One is how to get the most out of their treat, which is a lot around self-care and body noticing and body listening and take care of yourself and get the support you need. And the second one is about group norms and supports. And so I wanted to like plug in a real specific, I have a participate at the level that feels right for you, but I like the way that you framed this. So I want to build that in just around like everything's an invitation. And that's always the energetics that I begin with. And listen to your body. And if you have to come out, and I tell people like things they can do if they start feeling too much sensation or whatever.
I'm going to pause you. Some things to think about. Because 150 is a lot of people and it's not exactly your group.
Yeah.
So there are some extra things I might do in there. The first is I would probably do some journaling before going in to the somatic process. It's a little bit, I mean, all of this is, you know, we're always manipulating in magical ways. It is a little manipulating to veer it towards the highest wisdom. So I might, are they all going to be working on the same fear?
Yeah, that's part of the dilution effect. And
I was going to recommend that, have them all, right? And then I would do a little journaling that kind of like, it already gears them up, right? So maybe some journaling, like almost a little bit of an echo of some of the questions you would ask in the process, but from a more distanced way. So if this fear served a purpose in your life, what do you think it might be? right? So we're not asking the fear yet, but we're right. This fear had some important, an important message for you. What do you sense it might be, right? So these questions are a little, right, you see there, but we're talking about how does it support and what is its net, like if it has been supportive up until, right? So that we're already kind of setting that up.
Yes.
And then in the thing itself for this group, I probably wouldn't ask the question about the event or the series of events. I would leave that out. Yeah. And I would really gear it towards higher wisdom questions in the process.
Okay. That's great. And I even, to be honest, I mean, it's a, so the other piece here is that it's a conference put on by a state agency, which is a pretty progressive state agency. It's Maternal and Child Health. This is a group of home visitors and home visiting nurses. And so they are, many of them have like some spiritual stuff, but they're very closeted, some religious, some spiritual, and it's not necessarily on the agenda to talk spiritual stuff. So like, I'm mindful of even highest wisdom might be pushing the boundary. So, and part of what I'm leading with is like talking about the freeze response and bringing in Peter Levine's work. And then also I want to talk about patriarchy stress disorder and look at like how being in this system, but I have to give the data. I can't talk about patriarchy or I'll be in trouble.
Right. I love it.
So yeah.
Just to have in your back pocket as an alternative, see how it goes. I mean, I'm assuming you're not doing this in the first hour. Like you're, you know, it's so if you're feeling like the group is a little tentative, or I don't know, just like intuitively, you're like, then have this in your back pocket. And this will be just as powerful, but in a different way, to do the process, but instead of with the fear, do it with the part of them that really deeply holds their self-care, that has all of, right? So that you're kind of like bypassing, they could do the journaling on the fear.
Yeah.
And then do the somatic process, just go straight to the part really knows and loves and believes in self-care.
I love that. Okay. That's great. Because basically what I'm having them do, we go through all the different processes, things they can do, again, the science, and then I'm having them make a plan for themselves with like a number of priorities. And then to say, okay, let's get real. I know for most of you, you're going to go back and this plan is going to mean nothing. So this is why. So let's go into this because I know, you know, there's those, like, I've already talked about resistance earlier on. And so I want to make it like a little bit light, but also give the space for them to go deep and explore like, huh, what might be in the way of me implementing the plan, and then acknowledging those parts that are kind of coming up in their higher wisdom to help them support to implement. So that was the idea. So yeah, but I love this idea of possibly doing the bypass if needed.
Yeah. And in the bypass, you can ask that part, what are the other parts that are in your way, so that you don't like have to go deep into it, but you can kind of honor it, send some love and compassion. What do you want to say from the self-care part? What do you want to say to the fear? Similar to what Kim was sharing earlier, bringing the compassionate part in.
Sorry, bringing the what in?
The compassionate part in.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So glad you asked. Lisa, and then I have a question for everybody. Lisa.
It's just a quick one following up. Kelly, that was a really interesting question with working with the group. Joanna, why did you suggest, was it to make it softer for people? Yeah, rather than going to the negative and the fear that could cause more triggering, it was more like, let's look at the positive. That's what I was guessing, but I'm guessing.
That is exactly right. Yeah, and I think Kelly can go the first plan, but I was just giving like a back pocket plan just in case intuitively when she's there, she feels like, rather go this way.
It's a good one. I'll take it too. Back pocket. Thank you.
Thank you. love these integration calls. I'm like, I just feel like we get to get into some more of the details and the crags. So we have only 5 minutes left, and my biggest intention in all of this, whether you all like it or not, is for you to be all continuing to do your own inner work on your fears, breakthrough to transformation, to make this a way of life. It could be a once a week way of life. It doesn't have to be every day. But this more regular befriending, engaging with your fears in this way, you know, all that we've been learning about. And so, because I know from experience, personal and with clients, that when you commit to this, you will see changes. You will. No magic bullets ever, but this is like the life work that leads to changes. Each of the retreats that we're going to have and each of the things we learn are. So my question for each of you is, what would you like to commit or recommit to around your inner work with your fears? There's no right answer here. It's for you. And for some of you, it might be, I want to do the process twice a week or journal or, you know, make a collage or whatever. For others of you, it might be every day when I brush my teeth, I want to come back and remember and just say hi to it. Or I'm going to take a walk once a week with it, or right, whatever it is, it's whatever's right for you. But what would you like to recommit to around that?
Joanna, I missed. What did you say is the right answer?
I said there is no right answer.
I know.
I get it. The right answer is. I'd love to hear either a share on your recommitment or any questions that you have that can help support you in your inner work.
I can share.
Great.
I'd like to spend a little time just actually re-exploring what I think my fears are in different areas of my life. And then I also want to commit to actually listening to the whole recording and trying it out once with myself before we meet next.
That sounds great. And I bet you, if you wanted, you could find a partner. If you wanted somebody to lead you through it for sure. And if you wanted to practice leading through. So something to think about also. Okay.
Actually, I wanted to, so you sent an email about accountability partners. So is that something you'll send to us?
For practice partners, I think I had said post in the Facebook group, and let's see if you can. Because I think practice partners might be ongoing, or some people just might want randomly after each retreat, or, you know, whatever it is. So post in there. And if you don't get any bites, then we'll help you. There is someone who I know is looking for a practice partner, and I can't remember who, but I'll ask Caitlin.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Great. Inbal, same. Doing the process with yourself. Yes, everything that Jessica just said too. If you haven't listened to the recording, it is Nicole. That's what I thought. Yeah, I'll connect you and Nicole. Anyway, yes. Okay. Anyone want so we have 1 minute left. What are you taking from our time together today? Everyone, I hope, is at least taking one thing. And that one thing could be just inspiration to experiment with this more. What are you taking from our time together today?
I'm going to say two things. One, that I am taking inspiration, and that my goal is to watch that the piece of the video on the drawing thing that I'm forgetting about, and to swap sessions on both sides, to be a practitioner with somebody and to be client to work on my own fears.
Great. Yes to all of that. Veronica is saying in the chat, it's good to hear from you, Veronica. You're taking the mark of a good practitioner is that we aren't always asking questions that land. We're not just playing it safe. Yes. Kelly's taking a lot. Reminder to work this yourself. Keep journaling, doing your altar work. Yes. And all the tips. Good, good. All right, everyone, I might see some of you in Sacred Rhythms later on. If yes, I'll be happy to see you. If not, I will see you very soon. I'm sending you all so much love. Bye.
Joanna, what season is Sacred Rhythms on?
The spring.
Okay, thank you.
See you soon.